It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Bergeron wins the faceoff. Marchand has control.
Pretty goal, I thought.
It looked beautiful here too, Tara. Like, I'm not going to lie to you.
Krejci scores! Marchand right on it. Baseball bat is home! Talk to me, woman. Charlie Coyle! Boston breaks the ice. Short-handed win correctly. He'll delay his shot. He scores! It's a short-handed goal, and the Bruins are up by two. They will surround Yarrow. DeBrusque scores! It's 2-1. Nordstrom to the clip, and he scores! And it's 2-2!
Pull my trigger, let me blow your mind.
Jordan Staal, what a hit by McAvoy!
He's still down, I think. That was a Terry O'Reilly special.
It was an opportunity to make a hit and separate a man from the puck.
Wow! The long indirect, Marchand's in alone, he scores! 3 goals in 4 minutes, 14 seconds, and the Bruins have come from 2-0 to lead in the third. Kasha to DeBrusque, and it's 4-2, a goal-scoring explosion. Shot goes wide, 4 seconds, and Bergeron makes Mrazek pay. Mrazek took a nap, and the Bruins, ba-boom, for the second year in a row, Boston has sent Carolina home in the first round.
Well, that was fun. 98.5 The Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich. You got Joe Murray, Adam Jones in studio, and Billy Jaffe. He's not only a hunk, but he's a Bruins analyst for Nesson, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Billy Jaffe, that was that easier than you thought it was going to be? How'd this play out in your mind?
Well, first of all, good morning to everybody. Who put that montage together? Because that was spectacular. Whoever did, you got a big golf clap from me. A huge one, because I don't know. I mean, that was the first time I heard it today. That was awesome.
Well, we'll play it three more times before the show's over. How about that? Kill some time. But thank you.
It was great. I mean, seriously, that's energy at its finest, organic energy. You remember 2 weeks ago you asked me, asked me that, I don't know, you know, this is that one team. I think they can do something. I'm nervous about it. I'm not sure. And Carolina came in as one of the quote-unquote it teams, Rich. Remember that? They came rolling all over the New York Rangers. Well, and I said this on postgame, you know, last evening. Well, the Bruins aren't the New York Rangers, and that's not a slam at the Rangers. It's just fact. So the Bruins were a significantly better opponent. I think it's the old recency bias that we have to be aware of. And they took, was it easier? No, those games were tough. The Bruins were definitely the better team in that series. No doubt. I mean, whether you're into basic statistics or real deep analytics, look at all the numbers. The Bruins were the better team. And sure, once or twice, they may have made life a little harder on themselves here and there, but that's what playoffs are about. And man, oh man, they showed some good stuff. That's round one. I can tell you this, though, Rich. Round two is going to be a lot tougher, whomever they end up facing.
Yeah, those guys, I mean, you could tell, and you saw it after game three, and, you know, after it was done, they went up to Halak, everyone, you know, gave him a big hug. They seem to be rallying around this guy. Everyone knows the situation that he's been put in. It's tough, despite all of that, and, you know, his record, obviously, you know, he hasn't lost, so Halak's been, you know, statistically, he's been good, but he's given up some softies, some major softies. We've seen that, so... Like, where do you think that his play stands right now, and how confident are you in Halak finishing the playoffs with these guys? Because, you know, it does seem like they are rallying around him, but how is his play, and how, just where do you think they stand with him in goal for the rest of this?
I said this a few times already, you don't have to be the best goalie in the entire league to win the cup. You need to be the best goalie for the team that you're with that year. And, you know, we saw it last year with Jordan Binnington. Binnington was unbelievable in certain games, certain periods of games, and then he was very pedestrian in others. Now, I don't, you know, he won the right games at the right time. I don't want to see, you know, y'all be pedestrian, of course, and rightfully so. He took some hockey criticism, so to speak, or hockey angst, there was it. Not criticism, angst for those goals the other day that he allowed in, and then his team did pick him up significantly, in that epic comeback. But I'm very confident in him. He's a battler. He is the kind of guy that wants it, that is not shying away from it, does not hope that he can handle it. He knows that he can handle it. I remember now, I know I'm going back 9-10 seasons, Rich. I did that entire series when he was with Montreal against Washington, and throughout the entire playoffs, he was simply spectacular. He was fiery. He was absolutely passionate, and he was the number one then. Now he's a 1A, 2-2 Carrasque, but he wants the net. He loves the combination that he has in Boston, but he wants the net. Now we're going to see, can he play, 10 or 15 games in a row. The one thing that I'll say that, and I had researchers look this up at Nesson, the longest stretch of consecutive games he ever played, I think, in his career is 14. So can he do that now at 35 years old, 36 years old? He's in phenomenal shape. I just think it comes down to the wear and tear of playoffs. But I feel good about it. Look, this isn't just a one position sport, though. You know that, Rich. This next round, if whoever they play is going to be brutally tough.
Hey, Billy, I was watching that fine Nesson broadcast that you were on with Razor, and you made some comments just regarding Tuukka Rask. Do you think he's coming back, or do you think he's done?
Help me out for one second. What comments did I make about
it? I thought I heard you mention that he will no longer – he's basically done. The team should basically – they're going with Halak going forward. Is that correct?
No, I haven't talked about it for a couple of days, ever since the announcement caught everybody, right? It was Saturday. I won't speak for anybody else. All I said is I don't know if he's coming back. We tried to get the info of what protocols were, if he wanted to come back, et cetera. My surmising is this is just my spitballing. I don't think he's coming back, but, my thoughts on Tuukka Rask is he made a decision. And decision that he had to do, I'm sure you've talked about this ad nauseum. He made a decision that was best for him, best for his family, and that's it. And I'm not sounding cold here, but you play with what you got. It's no different than a player getting injured, Joey. And right now, they're going with Yarrow, and then as their backup right now, it's Danny Vladar. And I like Dan Vladar, but I prefer not to have to see him play in the playoffs. And that is not a shot at him, That right now in his development, he's not ready to be a number one goaltender in the NHL. That's fact. That's not a, that's just where he's at.
But just real quick, Billy, because, you know, it was Dale, who I guess is writing a book on Tuukka Rask, and they have a relationship, but he got a text or a call. I don't know what it was during the broadcast. Can you just kind of clarify what that was again and whether you know any more information about that?
There was just text with Tuukka. He texted Tuukka, and Tuukka said, "Family, everything you guys know now, family emergency, family situation, needed to, had to go home, and that, and that was it. And nothing more than that. I don't know if he's writing a book about Tuukka, by the way. I think there's other stuff, but anyway, it's irrelevant to the story there. But it was communication with Tuukka, and, that's what we knew. There was no comment made, I'm not coming back or I am coming back. It was just those, that it was like one or two texts back with him, and that's all I saw. Is that, family emergency situation.
So just because Cassidy's still being asked about this, and it's an interesting question, let's say everything's now taken care of at home, and, whatever fire he had there has either been put out or any kind of concern that he had about his family, it's now been settled, and he's ready to come back, and he wants to come back. If he comes back to the bubble and does all of his protocol and everything, if you're Cassidy, do you let it ride with Halak or do you put Tuukka back in net?
And this is very hypothetical. I think that what you do is it's situational. I'm sorry to give you a lame ass answer, Rich, but if Yarrow's running with it and Yarrow has got, if you really want to extrapolate it out, let's say it's another week or so. Well, and then Tuukka decides to come back. I think there may be a 14-day quarantine if he hasn't been quarantining at home. So you're still talking, let's say, 3 weeks out, and he hasn't played then at all. If he hasn't skated, you're not putting him in right away, Rich. You're just not. So now what are you talking about, another week or 10 days of practices, which you're really not going to have probably access to unless you're just having Tuukka go out with the Black Aces. My point is this. You're talking 3-4 weeks out is my best guess if he could actually play. And at that point, if you're still playing, that means Yarrow Halak has gotten you to that point. So I don't see him then saying, okay, Yarrow, you're done. We're putting Tuukka in. That would be my take in this very hypothetical situation.
But you don't think that if he came back in quarantine, they would feel confident in him coming in there, even though he hadn't played in a while? I mean, how long was Halak out before he got into net, before
Halak
he was called
on?
Halak
had been practicing. He had been taking live shots. He had been, it's part of the return to play process. The information that we don't have in this hypothetical here is Tuukka finding a place to go take shots? Or is he just, let's say he does, and then he's got to go to the bubble in Toronto. Or maybe by that time, Rich, it could actually be Edmonton. Let's not forget that if the Bruins go on past the second round, they transfer to the Edmonton bubble, which I actually think is a great thing, not to get on a tangent here, but I think it's great for the mind, new environment, new places to see, new things to do. So I think it helps those teams instead of the monotony of the same place, in Toronto. But, if Tuukka goes and has to quarantine, and if it is confirmed that it's 14 days, he's not taking any ice. He's not practicing taking any shots. Let's not forget, Tuukka talked about after his first round robin game about how his, hip flexors felt a little tight here, there, and everywhere. And that's after having some ice time previously. So this could be almost, let's say he goes up there and it's 2 weeks if it has to be. And again, all hypothetical. Rich, you're not going to put him on the ice after not having taken shots and quarantining. You're just not going to. You're going to get him back into shape.
And my whole reasoning was more the psychological of the team than even the conditioning or him coming back. I just think that this team, I think if you put Tuukka in, if he came back and he was ready to play and let's say Halak's been playing fine, like let's say whatever series they're in is 2-2, he's been fine. It's just one of those things where I think you kill somewhat of a motivation or a buzz that this team is riding on as rallying around Yaroslav Halak. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. It's just... You want to go to the emotional side of it? I don't disagree with you. I think that they would stick with Yarrow from, I go back to the physical thing, from the mental point of it, it would be, hey, this is our guy. We're thrilled, if the team continues to be all together, if, assuming said player is in the right frame of mind and is totally committed to the cause, et cetera, great. great. But again, we're going real hypothetically. My gut tells me that won't happen. But, I mean, do I know 100%? No, but my gut tells me that scenario won't happen.
All right, who do you want to face this next round? I mean, it's looking like it might be the Lightning, but if you had to choose between the remaining three potential teams, right, who would you choose?
I mean, you know, Philadelphia has been playing great, but I still think that the Bruins can – I do think the Bruins can beat them. I do think the Bruins can beat Tampa. I think it's going to be a tough series, though, if they play them. Do I have a choice? I don't know. Maybe Philadelphia, despite the fact they're the number one. But, you know, Tampa's playing a different game. But the Bruins, meaning they're more physical, they're scratching and clawing, they're getting depth scoring. But if the Bruins can continue to get depth scoring too, I think it would be a seven-game series. But I don't know. I mean, Philadelphia has a swagger about them right now, and I say that, and they lost to Montreal last night because Montreal stood up to them. And I don't know. I always hate picking the opponent, but maybe Philly if I had to be held to it.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, I just want you to know that Adam Jones thinks that it was pure luck that Patrice Bergeron buried that shot.
Yeah, do you think he knew the geometry there?
That was veteran know-how.
I think he absolutely knew that was the – okay, he knew that was the only chance of even having a chance to score, Adam. So that was completely intentional. Did he know that it was going to go off the skate and in? No, but he knew – The computer knew that if I don't throw, he checked off he was going to look to the middle. Oh, come on. Don't give me that crap.
No. It was like Tatum's bank three. Like, Tatum knew he had to throw it in the direction of the hoop. And if it bounces in, it goes in. Good.
Yeah. Right. He said, that's the chance that I've got to take. Yeah. He didn't say, I'm scoring. He said, right. He checked off and looked like he'd try and find something in the slot. Meanwhile, everybody on Carolina froze. So he said, what the hell? I'll put it in there. I thought you were saying, like, yeah, he had no chance. Like, he knew he had limited chance, but he said, this is better than no chance. And so he did it in there. Smart play. And to throw it in the feet, especially, is a smart play.
Oh, yeah, that was just – I had to watch that a couple of times. I mean, that was – it was a mix of, you know, Mrazek falling asleep, you know, on the job, and also, you know, Patrice just saying
– the D-men, they stopped. They didn't even look. They didn't put their stick towards him either, Rich. That was the other thing. They didn't put a stick towards him.
And you'd probably be surprised how many people in the league wouldn't do what he did. You know, that's just something that a guy who's played a hell of a lot realizes this is the most high percentage thing to do. Let's see if it works, and sure enough.
Valid point. Yes, it's a valid point. I'm sure Jones disagrees, but it's a valid point. Yeah.
He's not a Bergeron fan, I don't believe, you know, because who would be? Well, all right, well, Billy Jaffe, appreciate you coming on with us, man. We'll talk to you again soon, and this will be fun. We're moving on, round two. This is great for all of us. This should be awesome.
We're on to round two, yes. Well, and maybe we'll know by Friday. Maybe. I think, Rich, I think the games now will still start on Tuesday of next week. But, you know, I would hope that maybe they bump it up. If everything's done by Friday, that they start Sunday. But I don't know that info yet.
All right. Appreciate it, Billy. We'll talk to you soon. All right. See you, man. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
15 on the game clock as we count it down at a rough first quarter for the Celtics. Wanamaker's pass deflected by Thibault, so Tatum can go get it in the backcourt. He didn't realize he was not touching it. Now he does. He has to launch a Damian Lillard type.
Golly, and he banks it in
from 30-plus feet away.
That was Dame Lillard-like.
And that cuts it to six.
Had it once, served twice this morning. I'm going to say it again. If you're a Sixers fan and you're watching what Jason Tatum is doing right now, you just have to be screaming at the sky that he could have been yours. And now you got suckered once again by Danny Ainge into picking Markelle Fultz, who isn't even on the team anymore. So, Sixers got a ton of problems. Celtics looked great, though, last night. But Adam Jones, Joe Murray, I believe... that you have been called to duty before, but I have to do something right now. Adam, you have not, so I am going to, what is it, deputize you? Or I am going to anoint you to a position that maybe you have not yet earned, but I think you're ready.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another edition of Fart Court!
Oh.
Do you know Fart Court?
Yeah, well, I think so, yeah.
Fart Court is where we play something from a broadcast, and you have to determine whether or not it was indeed a fart made by somebody.
I thought I was being put on trial. Oh, okay, okay. I was like, wait a minute, what did I do?
But you, sir, are going to be one of the jurors in Fart Court.
Great,
judge, jury, and stinksecutioner. Joe Murray is an expert in Fart Court. He has helped us out. And how many court cases have you settled here on Fart Court,
Joe? Oh, I've been a part of many now, over a handful.
Okay. Now, this is one that I've been holding on to for a couple of days. There's been a lot of sports going on, so we just have not been able to get to it. But the greatest thing about our listeners is anytime somebody farts on TV, like all of a sudden, my Twitter timeline, like, I mean, just like we are the Fart Court specialists. Now, this one, there's been some fairly tough ones in the past, I'll admit. Ones that, you know, we have gone back and forth. There's been ones that have deemed, they've been deemed, they have not been farts. This one, this might be an open and shut case. Jordan Spieth. One of the great things about golf, having no spectators, is that you can hear every smack of the lips, every cough, and certainly you can hear every fart. Fart Court has been filled with submissions from the PGA Tour.
Really?
And this one comes from last weekend. Judge, jury, I ask you, did Jordan Spieth indeed fart?
That's a heck of a birdie right there from that right rough. Are you kidding me?
I feed.
That was...
I mean, Joe's a kid now, so I think, bird. I think he's got an expert in this field, I think, at all.
I mean, that's the most fart that's ever farted ever.
That was a condor.
I don't think that... by the way, he's, like, not close to the mic. Like, that is... That's got some depth, man. Like, if you were to look at the equalizer...
Is he picking up a putt?
That's got base... Yeah, he was. That's exactly what he was doing. He's bending over to pick up a putt. And... Yeah.
That's a heck of a birdie right there from that right rough. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's rough, all right.
I mean, that had legs. Who, by the way, Spieth is too skinny to have that much flap.
I understand our justice system here, but how do you vote anything but fart there? I don't understand.
Sometimes people think it's a chair. Sometimes people think
chair.
Yeah, you know, like it's like somebody sat in a chair a strange way. We've had many reasons that people have gotten off in Fart Court, but in this case, man, I don't know. I think this might be the most open and shut case in the history of Fart Court. I mean, that is an exceptional fart. Like, that's almost Hall of Fame fart material. Although I don't know if you're ever going to top Antonio Brown. If that one was, you know, that might be the best of all the farts.
Well, I like the girl on Dancing with the Stars. What was her name there?
Oh, Nancy Grace. Oh, all right. So Judge Adam Jones.
Yep.
Is that a fart or is that not a fart?
Spieth? That's 1,000,000% a fart, Your Honor. Mm-hmm.
Judge Joe Murray, is that a fart or is that not a fart?
That is gas, yes.
Yeah, the only answer to that not being a fart is that he poops. That's the only answer that's not a fart. It might have been more than a fart.
So it's in a hole in one's pants.
Yeah.
Finally, my vote. That is indeed a fart. There is no question. Clear cut.
Nice.
Fart.
Justice system at work.
The justice system at work. And I was, you know what? And the only reason that I've been watching any of the Democratic conventions is to see whether or not Joe Biden would fart once again, which sounded, of course, like this, just to remind you.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So,
which might be my favorite fart in the history of Fart Court, because it's
dusty.
A sleepy fart. That's one that you don't even feel coming out. Yeah. That's one that just drops out. Like,
hey,
you know,
you sleepy Joe.
Something fell out of your pocket. Yeah, it's sleepy Joe. It's a sleepy fart. It actually sounds like his butt is snoring.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So
like an alarm to wake you back up.
It's doing nice. No, that's Antonio Brown. I mean, he wishes he had one that could come out as tight as that.
Or stop work on roads and bridges. So.
Yeah, this is that's the loudspeaker fart, which, by the way, doesn't even sound as much of a fart like Speed's did. I mean, if you would have gotten that one on the loudspeaker, that's the Walmart fart, the wall fart.
Wow.
Yes, thank you very much. Oh, I thought that was I thought that was him farting. Well, I guess it was a brain fart when he said that horrible thing on TV. All right. We will do the stack right after this. Take it away, Jordan Spieth.
That's a heck of a birdie right there from that right rough. Are you kidding me?
98.5 Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
I'm a Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray, you okay? Get through that headlines okay? Did you do it right?
I was gassed, man. But this the stack,
I'm
though.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. Sorry, I wasn't going to do that, but sorry.
Just quickly, the stack's brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale event. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. WindowNation.com.
Since the playoffs have started, how's the bankroll doing, man? How's the, as a whole, how have things been going for you?
Things are good, but it's definitely up and down. Like, you win two, you lose one. You win three. Like, we went, Lifshitz went 7-0 yesterday. Or
wow.
2 days ago.
On hockey and basketball? Yeah,
and over the weekend, we went, like, yeah, we had a really good weekend. But, I would say it's like, you win two, you lose one. It's these damn totals in the NBA, man. It's like this bubble scoring. And I was going to say, I think it's more different in the NBA than it is in the NHL. Like, we keep.
No, I thought you guys said it's the opposite, right? You said in the NHL, it's like under in the bubble, and in the NBA, it's over,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's under. Yeah, exactly. But more first period. But if anything, I've noticed certain NBA players are doing better in the bubble. Like TJ Warren is doing things right now in the bubble that I don't think he'd do out in the way court. You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain things going
on
here.
There's consistency where you're not. Yeah. It's not Terry Rozier against the Bucks a few years ago where he thrives at home
exactly.
And sucks in Milwaukee.
Like Michael
Porter
Jr. all of a sudden has come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, they just have a rhythm. They found a spot, and they're playing well. But I think it's because of the bubble. They don't have to face that on the road, and then fly cross or any of those type of things. So I think that's helped the NBA, and it's made the games more entertaining. I know the ratings don't say that, but I think the games have been great.
Do you think they should keep?
The ratings have been good. Now the ratings that people were talking about were before the playoffs started, and you have to understand the primetime games are doing extremely well. But I mean, there's a lot of people who can't watch basketball at 3 or 4
in the afternoon.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, there's these people who are like for some reason anti NBA who are trying to lump in those ratings with the primetime games and compare them to last year when all of the games were essentially in primetime. And no. The bubble's been a success, and with hockey as well. The ratings for the for hockey, and especially locally, it's they've done really well. But are you because I'm with you, Joe. Like the one thing about these games that I've noticed, and it makes perfect sense, is that there's no getting away from either how bad like if you're a bad team, there's no getting away from it now. Usually, let's say that the Celtics were they had home court and they were blowing out the Sixers. The Sixers can't go home yet and have that little boost. It almost seems like you're not going to see a lot of 7-game series when you're in the bubble, because if you're just bad, you're going to continue to be bad and you're not going to get that boost. And if you're good, you're going to ride that momentum. Doesn't it seem that way?
Yeah, like I'll give you the Nets for an example. They got blown out in game one. They actually had a lead with like 3 minutes to go yesterday, and the Raptors took care of business and won late. I think now Brooklyn's done. Like, they had their little run. And if they had to go back to Brooklyn, would it give them momentum? Yes, but they can't because they're in a bubble. So, like, when I look at – like, I'm interested in what happens with the Clippers. Like, they could technically be down 0-2 if Porzingis didn't get tossed. I still think they're going to win the whole thing.
Out of those three teams, out of the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers, you know, these are ones that, you know, they were the real contenders. If you were to look at everything, you say, all right, it's going to be one of those three. And I'm sure Vegas probably thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But here they are looking at, you know, some losses. Who do you think's in the biggest trouble out of those three?
Ooh, I'm going to say, man, of those three, huh? See, I think the Bucks come back and smash them.
Yeah, and they're in the East,
too.
It's got to be one of the L.A. teams. The Clippers,
I think
the Clippers seem like they have their hands more full with Dallas. You just said they could be down 0-2.
The thing about the Lakers, though, is, well, first of all, they have
Lillard's
LeBron.
Been on a mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lillard's been on a mission, but see, now I hesitate saying it because we've seen LeBron do this before, where you think he's out of it, and all of a sudden he just becomes an absolute assassin. But there's something off there with that team right now. Does anybody else sense that? It just there's been no
shooters and no defense, and that's what Avery Bradley hurt. I think.
Well, didn't LeBron allude to something too, like early on in the bubble? He's like, you know, we got to handle some off court stuff. So yeah. I mean, that I remember those comments. I don't know exactly what he's driving at, but yeah, something might be a little off. There, sure.
And I think that the Bucks, there's something off with the Bucks, but I don't think Orlando's a good enough team to be able to capitalize on that.
I think Orlando beat Toronto last year, game one. You know, so like Orlando came into the playoffs last year and won a game one, and then they got, snuffed out. So that'll happen again.
Comfortable at home. They did lose Isaac, but overall, though, like, I think they get smashed today. Like, I think, and Giannis was shut down in that fourth quarter. That's not happening. And then they lost game one last year to the Celtics, and look what happened. So I think they're going to be just fine. But
yeah, that's a good point.
It's a good point of those three teams, though. Like, I take Milwaukee off the list. Something wasn't right with the Lakers the other night. And I don't know if it's because Lillard is playing at, like, an all-time high right now. He might be the hottest player on the planet right now. Any sport. He's the hottest guy going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's pulling off. I'm always worried about those teams because it always seems like any team that's got one guy who's just that insane, it means that, most championship teams don't have that one guy who's just so much better than everyone else. It's usually somewhat spread out. There's one guy who's definitely better. But, you know, you get a little bit of love everywhere else. Portland, although Portland's got so many good shooters, too. I mean, I don't know. To me, that's the most entertaining series of all of them. That Lakers-Portland series, any game that Damian Lillard's going to be playing is now going to be, you know, high entertainment. It's must-see television. But that series, and it would be so damn funny if the Lakers lose, because I'm going to call Liv Schatz. I'm going to call him, and I'm going to put him on the phone, and I'm going to record him, because that dude is going to lose his effing mind. He called people, I want to play the clip, he called people effing a-holes, and he was, if they ever put any kind of money on Portland, like, he went off and on those guys.
And he sounded a little nervous about the Lakers this morning, didn't he?
He did.
Something
tells me he probably put a nice little chunk of his bankroll on.
Hey, Rich, I haven't mentioned this in the headlines, and I apologize, but tonight is the NBA draft lottery.
Is it?
It's the
even know about that. Really?
The lottery is tonight.
I didn't know that either.
And okay. 14 teams have a shot, but somehow I think the Golden State Warriors are going to get the number one pick tonight.
Well, don't they have the best odds?
They do, but okay. Just go figure that. They're going to get the number one pick after all said and done.
I see what you're getting. Yeah.
You lose Kevin Durant, you pretty much have a bye year. You know what I mean? Now you're going to get the number one pick.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so funny. I just, with all the chaos going on, I saw it mentioned a while back, the date that it was, but I had no idea it was tonight. So there you go. All right, well, the NFL has been making some changes for the upcoming season. One thing that came out yesterday was the Seattle Seahawks announced that they would have no fans in the stands for the first three home games. That means when the Patriots go out to the loudest stadium in the country, they're going to have a nice little break from especially a guy like Jared Stidham, who might not know the offense, or Cam Newton. That is a fairly decent little piece of news that came out yesterday. So the Seahawks, no fans in the stadium when the Patriots go and visit them in week two. On top of that, what's that?
I was just going to say, I mean, it definitely makes it, you know, less daunting. They're still going to have that big scary flag, right? They're still going to wave the 12-man flag. So I don't know if that's intimidating or not. But yeah.
Well, I mean, you might as well just go home if you see that.
Yeah.
I mind. That's intimidation personified. It's like Wallach with his shirt off. Now, another thing about the NFL is that they have made some changes about how the game is going to be broadcast and what the protocols are going to be. And one of the big ones is that there's no sideline reporters this year. No one's going to be down on the field. And on top of that, no pregame TV reporters as well. Any kind of side people on the sidelines, TV network, national radio, even the flagship radio people, they cannot be on the sidelines at all. They are prohibited from being there. It's not a huge surprise, but it is something that is going to change the broadcasts one way or the other. I have to be honest. I was the biggest person against all of this fake crowd noise and everything. I got to tell you, the NHL and the NBA have done a pretty damn good
job. They have. I agree.
And I it's so much that I rarely notice it, and I don't think baseball's done a good job at all. Like, they're all over the place, and maybe it's just because there's such a, you know, breakage in where, you know, or a break in where you would hear applause and where you wouldn't. Like, they're getting home run calls wrong for the wrong team. They're hitting the applause, and, you know, at a home plate, it's and the volume levels are up and down no matter what network you listen to. But the hockey broadcasts are they're pretty perfect, to be honest. So much so that if it wasn't there, I'd probably hate it. You know, so I've done a complete 180 on crowd noise when it comes to basketball and hockey, and the broadcast themselves, like the play by play, and on our radio station, it sounds fantastic. When we play the Judd Surratt and Bob Beer stuff, I mean, it sounds like they are there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few hiccups here and there with stuff guys can't see. Like, I know Grandy and Max, this is not to single them out. They didn't know Hayward was hurt the other night because it was never shown on TV, you know? So, like, until he was, like, hobbling off the court, they can't know that. So there are, like, some areas where a broadcaster just can't do it. But generally, I would say you don't notice. There's no way to notice.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, I was the person who wanted that the least. I thought that fake crowd noise was ridiculous. You know, you're insulting our intelligence. But, hey, there you go. They've figured it out. And who knows what the NFL is going to do. As long as they don't put those fake stands in the crowd. Like, that was ridiculous. And I know that Fox, of all the networks, is going to be one of the first people to try that. Because they did that with the baseball, for a couple times.
The NBA's kind of doing it, right? The fake – I mean, they're videoed in. I mean, those are the virtual fans. That's kind of similar.
No, I'm talking about the EA Sports, like, fake fans, like the ones that are from, like, Madden that throw into the crowd. Have you seen that? Try that?
I guess I haven't seen it. I know that I remember the Joe Buck comments that they were going to do it, but I guess I haven't seen what they actually look like. No.
It's creepy. It's not good. And it's distracting, and you don't need that. And they all look like the dead-eyed kids from the Polar Express movie, just like corpses on strings. No, thank you. I don't need that in my football. Speaking of that, the Robert Kraft spa video thing, it got blocked again, and it sounds like that is not going to be released. A huge win for Robert Kraft. Geez, how long has that story been going on? They still haven't made a decision on whether to release it. It sounds like that is more than likely the last stop unless they try to appeal to a higher court, but it doesn't sound like that's going to happen. So I'm sure it was a very happy day over there in Foxborough.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Field.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.